Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're at.
Hello.
Nice to see everyone.
It's depressingly dark now that we changed to wintertime, I will say.
I'm sorry. We'll get there too. By the time we get to 5 o'clock this evening here, it will also be dark. But it's my 1 week of my life to feel like I'm a morning person again. It doesn't last long, but I love it. All right, I'm going to give it a couple more minutes for folks to trickle in here.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
You did not start yet.
Not yet.
I have a question for y'all then. About the functionality, or actually maybe bad documentation, when you have a chance. So
All right. We have a potpourri of things today.
I don't think my topics will take too long
Right. You
to achieve
never
the
know. We
thing.
are pretty
No.
chatty, Magnus. You think you got a 5 minute
Yeah.
topic, and then 25 minutes later, you're still we're still in the weeds. Right, I'm going to throw the agenda in the chat. All right, well, let's get started. Welcome, everyone. It's nice to see you all here. Magnus is going to be our one-man show here for most of the day, but we'll start off with a little bit of info about next week's. We're going to do our welcome and introduction to the Resource Access SIG next week, and we did bump it ahead a week, mostly just to give us more time to promote and advertise it. And so, apropos of that, Cornelia and I had a couple of ideas of how to promote this session for folks who might be interested in learning more about the Resource Access SIG who haven't had a chance to attend or don't know what we do. It really is intended to be for new people, anyone who wants to know more. Maybe it's new implementing libraries that haven't gotten involved in the community at all before. Maybe it's folks who've been involved in the community. Their libraries have been involved, but they haven't had an opportunity to learn about the circulation side of things. So I'm going to send a message out to LibCirc Plus, which is a big circulation email listserv, very longstanding in the States. And we will put something on the Folio General Slack channel and ask folks to pass it along to circulation colleagues. And I'm curious if other folks have other ideas of where else we might promote this session. We have not managed to collect a list of all Folio libraries. We're still trying to figure out exactly how to do that in a relatively, it's a longer process to figure out all the libraries that are using Folio and then reach out to all their access services or circulation folks. Do others, especially from other parts of the world, have listservs that they would be able to pass this along to who you think there might be audiences out there? If you do, you can let me know and I can pass along what we're going to send out to the circulation listserv. So the target audience and the kind of tone of the message is about people, not assuming that people are using Folio, but sort of like, are you using it or are you interested in learning about it? And this is an opportunity to learn about what we do. So I guess just let me know in the chat or whatever if you have such a venue to post a message to, and I would be happy to pass you the text of what I put together on to be forwarded. In addition to that, we are getting our, this is always an opportunity to get our website, our wiki back into a little bit better shape and look at it and see what's out of date. And so Cornelia is leading the charge on that front, both our front page and the getting started page, so that when we point people there, it actually doesn't have outdated information. So apropos of that, I've linked to the front page in our agenda, and I would love for folks to go and take a look and see, is your name on the list of current active members or not? Does it need to be updated? And are there folks who we should move down to the former or inactive members? So if you have an active wiki account, you should be able to just edit that directly and update your information or add it if it's not there. Any other initial comments? I guess, Tom, I should ask you, are you planning to have a fee fine meeting on Thursday?
Yep.
Okay. So our Thursday, 11 o'clock U.S. Eastern Standard Time meeting will be on the fee fine subgroup. Any other announcement-y things? All right, I will hand it over to Magnus, and I'll put your thing at the end, Tom. Take it away.
Thank you. I'm going to share my screen here first. So this first topic is about when you create a title level request, and there are both available and non-available items. So we have one item that should be pageable, and we have items that you should be able to put a hold or recall on. So in my mind, that should mean if I try to create a request, I should only be able to choose page, because the hold and the recall will fail every time. So if I go to new request and I put in my user, I can choose hold, recall, or page. So if I choose hold and then a service point and try to save, it will fail because there's a pageable item. So it's kind of pointless to be able to choose hold. If I choose recall, the same thing will happen. So, but if I choose page, it will work. So it's mostly just to show that this is what happens, and I thought I will make a Jira about it. But I also wanted to ask, is there any circumstance where you should be able to put a recall, for example, when there are items that are pageable as well? I don't know much about recalls, but the page will work here at least. So in my mind, you should only be able, it should just choose page for you like it does in other circumstances with item level request. Olga, you can
I noticed that you also had age to lost item, and I know right now they are not requestable, but if I'm not mistaken, there is a Jira asking for them to be requestable. Or it could be my wishful thinking. I know for sure that in our library, we did that issue was raised because our items expire very quickly. And I think I was talking about it at one of our meetings here. They expire in, they age to lost in 3 days. Sometimes we do want to people we do want to allow people to place requests on them, because if it's no one cares about it, fine, it can be aged to lost for a while. But if a person wants that item, we want them to be able to request it, but right now they are not able to do it. But I think there is a Jira that would allow that to do that. So in that case, there's still if that will be ever allowed, then there would be still a request possible in this scenario. Not only page, but also in this case, it would be recall, I guess. Very theoretical, I know, but
Right, but I think the point that Magnus is making is that there already is a recallable or a holdable item, but it should not offer those because it's always going to go to the page. Like if there's an available item, the request should be on the available and it should always be a page, and there should never, like, unless that pageable item becomes not pageable somehow. These
I see.
other two options shouldn't be, and I think it's just
Okay.
not looking right, Magnus. You think it's not even, I guess my
Yeah.
question, we don't use title level requests, so I'm curious about, are those three options always offered, regardless of what the items are, or it's all, I mean, based on
No.
obviously the request policy has to offer them, but.
So now, since I paged the item, I choose another patron, and now I can only choose hold or recall.
So what is
So,
looking?
yeah, but it's like it's looking at the specific items, but not as a whole. So it is, oh, we have this item can be recalled, so the option to recall is possible, but this other item is pageable, so we will put the option to page. So in my mind, it will only it, the solution would be, if there are multiple options, but page is one of the options, it should only choose page or show page. So it shouldn't be that complicated, I think.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Since they always fail anyways. It does the same check. If I ch choose item level request instead, I would be able to choose all these options on different items. So it uses the same kind of the same logic.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And seems like it should be a pretty straightforward write-up.
I think so. I will, if no one else has any other opinions, I'll just create a Jira, but I think it should be fine.
And just to clarify, the Jira is going to be that if there's a pageable item, holds and recall should not be allowed at a title level request, correct?
Yeah, in my mind, that should be it.
Well, they're already not allowed. They should not be
Yeah.
offered.
No, precisely.
Right. Well, yeah, allowed slash off. Sorry.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a problem. I mean, the only thing I could think of is if the pageable item is a known missing item, but in that case, it's more than simple enough for a staff member to go in and mark the item as missing, which means it won't be pageable anyways, and take it out of the
Yeah. Great. Then I will continue on to the next topic. That's Catherine from Stanford brought it up in another situation in Slack a while ago. And it's about how triggering events are named in the circulation log and in notice policies, and that they are not consistent. So, for example, I will show an example first. If we go to the, let's see, I don't remember, let's see, not create, not send. Here we go. So, here, for example, on this row, we have an item that is awaiting pickup, and the triggering event says available. But if you go to the notice policy, the triggering event is awaiting pickup, which is much more clear and should be in the circulation log as well, it feels like, which makes it a bit confusing. And there are multiple instances like this. I actually made a little table here just so we could take a look. And some are the same, but a lot of them are different. And I feel like the notice policy is the more clear option is in mostly every instance. So especially the awaiting pickup one, but also like hold shelf expiration is better than hold expiration. And then the others are just mostly minor issues. But that's kind of all I had to get started.
That seems kind of like a no-brainer, Max. I was
Yeah.
like trying to document the examples you gave, but I'm like, you've already done all the work to document exactly what the discrepancies are. I would
Maybe
agree
there's
that the
less.
notice policy event triggers are more like when you're writing the notice policy, it's pretty clear what those things are. And I think the circ log needs some work, and this is one of the pieces of work that could be. Maybe we need a circ log. Kind of epic because there's a bunch of things that some work could be done. This could be one of them.
I wonder if those last two on the list, if it really is about aging to lost and not declared lost, then that does seem more specific and more accurate than the notice policy version in that case. But otherwise, yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah, that might be possible. When Catherine brought this up, it was about they tried to troubleshoot issues with their emails, and they kind of thought, oh, the triggering event doesn't match. Maybe something is wrong. That's how it this was brought up at first. But yeah, I'm not sure if it should be just the notice policies in all the cases, or like you said, if the triggering event is clearer here. But I don't know how to go forward with this one, though, if it should be a bigger year. Is this something to discuss more as well, or should it be?
I would, as Susan said, maybe have a meeting set up for circlog. In the meantime, I mean, I think documenting this and actually adding this to a JIRA, just saying that there's discrepancies between it, that falls under Stephanie Buck, as far as I remember, is still the PO for circlog and Valeris, so it could be assigned to her. But yeah, I think it just capturing this in a JIRA that there is this discrepancy between the two, and then us sitting down and talking about it as a group of with what the preferred language is, and making sure there's a consistency between the SERP log and the notice policy. But yeah, these have been traditionally like two different POs and two different apps, so I can see why there'd be discrepancies.
Sounds
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, if you're able to write something up and we can schedule a meeting where we talk specific, dig into more detail here, because I agree. I think this, and I know that there are other circ log tickets out there that we might want to toss in here as well. Things that are not logged that should be, and this could be a piece of that work. But the placeholder, would be a good place to start. If there's a way to share this spreadsheet, Magnus, so that we can put it in with the minutes for this meeting, then we'll have a place to refer back to it. That would be great.
Sure. Great. Nothing more regarding this, or I'll continue to my next topic. So that's mostly just me asking others how they do things, and it's about closed requests. There is development being done on functionality to anonymize requests, but I would guess that's pretty far away still. And the number of closed requests we have just keep growing, and we kind of wonder what we're going to do about it. So my question is, does anyone else have a solution for how they handle it for now? One option, is it safe to delete some old requests? Or perhaps we thought about maybe creating a dummy user and moving all the closed requests to that user. But yeah, Tom, you had a raised your hand right away.
Yeah, Five Colleges is actually working on request anonymization right now. So I'm not sure with the delay of Trillium if it's actually going to be released with Trillium or if it's going to be
Oh.
released in Umbrella Leaf. So I think, yeah, Amelia's on here, so she may be
Yeah.
able to fill up with some more details. I would hold off on doing anything in-house. Just because anytime you delete or remove anything, you have to be very careful with impacts to other modules. So,
Yeah, I figured. But we'll see. And I don't know if Amelia wanted to say something, if she knows.
I guess I was going to say, so we're still planning on an Umbrella Leaf release for this. From the work that our team has done looking at these records, I don't think there would be any problem if you manually removed the user information from the records. You wouldn't end up with circ log entries from that. But I guess there might be some UI display issues that come up if records are missing data that the UI expects to see. But I'm not sure what those will be like because that's something that we're handling before we implement the actual anonymization. So you might run into some errors on the front end with displaying requests that have had their information anonymized. But it shouldn't interfere with any backend functionality, at least.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, we actually deleted a few requests when we just implemented Folio by mistake. And it worked out, it at least worked out fine on a small scale when we figured out what we did wrong. But yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, and also even though it will be anonymized in the future, and it's the same with loans, I guess. It will just keep accumulating. So I think we have 150,000 closed requests now after 2 years, and if it feels like so for us, we anonymize all the loans, but since all the loans are based on requests, pretty much we still have all the user data connected to the titles. But that's good to hear that it's coming along with the development.
All right, anything else on request anonymization? All right, thank you, Magnus. Tom, what do you have?
Anxiety, depression, about 20 different things. So no, a ticket came in for a bug, and which is around making requests on restricted items. So let me see if I can find it now. So in the folio documentation, according to, go to the docs. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the item statuses right now. There we are. According to the folio documentation for item statuses, which is right there, for restricted items, it says a restricted item cannot be recalled, placed on hold, or paged. What happened is our bug came up and we were actually getting a report of the opposite wasn't happening, that people weren't allowed, they were getting an error message when they were trying to place a request or page. And we actually found another ticket from some of the original work back in 1085 that items with a restricted status are allowed to have requests placed on them. So we think it's an error in the documentation. But I just wanted to, point that out, but also just give people a time to say, no, this is actually not right, and it should be the opposite. It is working as 1085 is written on the current snapshot environment. So it is working as that is documented, but as I said, I just want to point out the inconsistency in the documentation, but also give people a time to comment if they felt that it should be the other way instead.
I did look into that. I think at one time restricted items could be placed on hold, or they couldn't be recalled or paged. The policy seems to have changed at some point. I mean, I tested that carefully and I rewrote the documentation based on what I found. I'm not sure which version of folio you were talking about, but I think at least for the past few versions, and this has been changed again, when I tested it, I found that restricted items couldn't be recalled, placed on hold, or paged. But if you found something different, I can try. Yeah, which version of folio were you talking about?
So the ticket that we ran into is, it's this one, which is 2355, which was written by Stephanie, and it was on Trillium. So they were testing it on the 1 Trillium release. In fact, actually, you can see there's a comment on there from Anne from today's meeting as well about this, saying that it was being blocked and that there was no error message. So they were just pointing out that the error message needed to be put in there. Our quality assurance person, Nina, in the Vega team was actually testing this, but she also found 1085. And at the same time, our devs actually got another error saying that these were being blocked and they fixed it. So in Snapshot, which is basically the dev's working environment, this is now working as 1085 is written. So requests are being allowed, but in at least I know for Trillium, the more general Bugfest environment or the testing environment that they're doing, it's not working there. That's where this 2355 bug came from. But we found 1085, so our inclination is that 1085 is the expected behavior, and that it just hasn't been caught for a while.
Yeah, I did actually mention this at one point, a change in behavior in an RA SIG meeting, but don't think it was followed up. I don't know what kind of behavior you think is best, but at one time I know whenever, maybe in Orchid, restricted items could be placed on hold. Somehow it got changed in some later version, which is why I changed the documentation. I think I did mention this at one point, though maybe it got forgotten about.
So to be, what is the desire? I guess you could see the argument being made either way like I'm not sure what the original intent of the restricted status was, is Anya. You're muted if you're speaking. You look
Can you
unmuted, but I can, oh, there you are. Now I can hear
yeah.
you.
Okay. I can only speak for our constituent libraries, but the way they use restricted status on items is for anything that requires another level of scrutiny, like old valuable materials or any kind of item that requires some access control for whatever reason, whether it's for conserving reasons or legal reasons or whatever. So this would be a status that would point to using the mediated requests app. So when I look at it from that perspective, making those items requestable would be a requirement because we would want those items to be requested by patrons and then an additional workflow to jump in to make the required checks before actually passing it on to a patron. But I can only speak for our constituent libraries here.
I think that's actually a really good use case of allowing whole requests on items with a restricted status is because of, even if it wasn't thought of at the time, because of the mediated request app that's coming up and pushing it into a separate workflow, it would have to allow a request to be placed at the end of that workflow in order for the system to function properly.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess my inclination with it is, to me, my initial reaction is, when it says restricted, is that nothing should be allowed. Like, it should be just blocked off because it's restricted. But at the same extent, I guess that's also what the CERC rules are kind of there for too. So I don't know. And perhaps this is something too with
No, I just checked. Yeah, I just
other.
checked. Our library use restricted status for stuff that is not to be requested. Never. But and we don't. We use that always in combination with a certain loan type. But we don't have a circulation rule for this loan type because we relied on the restricted status to deal with that. So if it's going to be cha if it's going to change, we need to put it out in release notes and every available documentation for people to know.
So we think it's currently functioning that it's allowing hold requests, or we don't. That's the part I'm not clear about in its current iteration.
The current iteration is not enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I did do some testing with the restricted status. But when you do a check-in of the item, it will the status will disappear. So if you want to use this status for circulation, then you need to add it when you have circulated it. So I think this maybe are two different kind of statuses. One that is restricted that you can't and can never request, and there's a restricted in the sense that it might be requested sometimes.
The meeting notes that Lawrence linked says we should have a dedicated meeting on the restricted items. Yeah. That was 1 year ago. Oh. So is that the recommendation we should, we still need to have, we need to circle back to Lawrence's original meeting notes, like from the last time we talked about this a whole year ago, more than a year ago. It does feel like for the benefit of the developers, we don't want to keep adding bugs back and forth that it should be, it shouldn't be, it should be, it shouldn't be. Like we need to make a decision and go with that. I think that is true of other statuses that they clear on check-in, like unavailable. We've used that as well. And then when it circulates, it has to come back to a staff member to get put back on unavailable status. So it's not, there are limits to how these are used in collections that could circulate. And if so, what is the distinction between unavailable and restricted? Like those are kind of unavailable can't be recalled or, I mean, can't be requested, which makes sense. And so in that case, what makes it distinct from restricted and unavailable? Like what's the difference?
Are there any statuses that keep their status when they're checked in? No.
All item statuses when they're checked out, all item
Yeah.
statuses actually get wiped out and they go to checked, charged, or checked out. And then when they're checked in, they can go into awaiting to be shelved, or they were supposed to, and then they just go to available. So there is a few systems I know are like our system that we came from, Voyager, allowed multiple item statuses. So there was kind of one item status. Field is smirking. She's like, there was one item status field that would flip back and forth, and there were certain item statuses that would be cleared when an item was checked in or checked out. But then there was other item statuses that you could add as kind of descriptors on an item. So, for instance, you could we had a descriptor that was needs cataloging review that we could add to an item. So then when the item was checked in or checked out, that item status remained and it would actually prompt a flag in circulation saying this has an item status of need circulation review. So honestly, I would like to see us go down that route with Folio with some of these item statuses, because I think that would be more useful for people, but that would be new functionality.
Well, I think the thing to think about these item statuses is that they are a, I mean, in most cases, they are a temporary status. They are like, this is the status that this thing is in at this moment, not this is how this thing circulates or this is how this thing is supposed to be used. It is, that is a loan type or a material type or something else, right? So I think that's something to really distinguish here is that although restricted is a temporary status, if you want an item to not circulate, it seems like that should be embedded in its you know, non-circulating or something related to its loan type, not in this status, because I do think that this is not what this field is intended to perform, how it's intended to perform permanently on an item. That's just my sense as folks were talking. Anya?
I totally agree. It's really tricky ha to have this item status field that basically depicts a status within the workflow of an item being handled in circulation to retain or sh ask it to retain information that refers permanently to this item. What we are looking at, though, is that our local databases are connected to item level information in our union catalog, where we have no option but to actually use this item status field, because otherwise we wouldn't get that information in. This is basically a legacy issue we are dealing with here. And I totally agree, you have to add additional security measures. If you have items in a collection that is generally circulating, but a couple of items cannot be handed out. We have these rather often in CSIS connections, where a few seizures are protected because of copyright or company collaboration secrets that cannot be handed out without special permission. And those will get the same kind of item level and title level data as all the other seizures on the shelf. So we'll always have to use workarounds, adding circulation notices that pop up to make sure it is set back to an unusual item status. It's not ideal, but I think that's something to look at with the individual workflows in each library, what the best solution is, whether it's a particular loan type, a particular location code, if that is possible, that makes everything a lot easier than having this restricted entry on the item.
This is also something too where, and I'm sorry, I'm going to invoke the name that should never be invoked. It's like Harry Potter, where three-part item status was supposed to come in because there was supposed to be two other parts of the item status that was a needed for and a process that was supposed to document some of these workflows, plus also modify the workflows. I still think that's not a horrible idea. And I would drop it down to two parts, even just adding the needed for. It's kind of along the same lines of what Voyager was doing, but it'd be a separate field. So it wouldn't change the item status. It would just document what it was needed for, and you could stack multiple processes after it. But yeah, as I said, it's a name that shall not be invoked.
All right. Well, it seems like we may need another meeting dedicated to talking about. I really want to understand better this distinction between restricted and unavailable, because it's not entirely, when you look at the documentation, it's they're not very different. They're, I mean, yeah, it's not clear how they should be different or intended to be different. I mean, I get conceptually why, but technically why, how they're different is not entirely clear. So sorry, Tom, this was a bigger topic than you thought. So we may need to d dedicate some more time to it later on to get to the bottom line of what how we expect it to behave.
Okay, so
If that's okay.
at this time, do you want me to see, have them hold off on doing anything with restricted and requests?
Well, I guess I wouldn't want them to do work that's going to be undone. It sounds like there's already work that was sort of done in one place, but not in the other.
Yeah, I mean, and part of it is still too is also they ran it that they are testing both single tenant and multi-tenant, so that's also where it's coming up at. And as I said, like the devs have already on the rancher environment pushed a code change that pushes us back to what the original spec was, which is allowing requests. So, yeah.
Okay, and is it requ allowing all requests? Is that the, or just certain types of
I
requests?
have to look. Let me look at the original one. And perhaps that was the original idea between the distinction between unavailable and restricted.
Okay.
Does not say if I will have to go back. I know holds are at least allowed. I'll have to go back and ask them if recalls and pages are allowed as well. It may just
Okay.
be holds. So I can clarify that one. So perhaps that was supposed to be the distinction between restricted and unavailable. Unavailable, nothing is allowed. Where restricted, you are allowed to place a hold or a page that would allow would prompt a staff member to look at it,
Right.
but not do a recall on it. But let me ask them. I'm clarifying one on that one.
Well, it couldn't be a recall because it couldn't be checked out. Well,
Oh, good
right, it
point.
could
Good
never
point.
be
Yeah.
checked out because its status is not checked out or any other status. Its status is restricted. So
You are correct. Yes. Yeah,
maybe a
you'll get
hold couldn't even be placed on it. Who knows?
you can
It's possible to place hold on missing items. So.
That's right. Yeah. So it might fall into that same category.
Yeah. There's a lot of wonky stuff with item statuses and requests. So, yeah. So I think it's you're allowed to place a hold and possibly a page. You're not allowed to do a recall, which would make sense because you can't have anything that was charged out as restricted. It would have to be something that's not checked out.
All right, we will put this on a future agenda to dig into this and figure out how we actually expect it to behave. Olga had one question for the end of the meeting.
Okay, I don't know, maybe you all already know about it, and it took us 2 years to notice it. Or maybe it wasn't like that before and it changed in Ramsons. But for hourly loans, we use them a lot. We use hourly loans for reserves, we use them for equipment, and we have a variety of length. It could be 5 hours, 24 hours, 3 days, which is not 3 days, it's what, 96 hours, right? And a week, which is 168 or something like that, hours. And we noticed the last week, because of the time change, the items, 1 week loans, let's say on Tuesday, we check it out at 2 p.m. and it's due next Tuesday at 1 p.m. because of the time change. So it doesn't look at the calendar to say, oh, it's back at 2 p.m. It adds 196 or whatever number of hours is in 1 week. And because of the time change, it's 1 hour earlier. And the same later started happening with 3 day loans. And if we were open 24 seven, or at least if we were open on Sundays, the same would have happened to all 24-hour loans as well. But we closed on Sundays, so that didn't apply. Is it a known issue? Was it always like that? Is it everyone expects it to be that way? I don't think it was happening this way in our previous system.
I'm sorry, just to rephrase it for myself, I'm making sure I understand that. So with the time change, your loans are being calculated, I'm sorry, your loans are being calculated incorrectly.
Yeah, 1 hour earlier, or yes, or later. Like,
Okay.
de depends where you move the clock, right? In spring, it will be 1 hour earlier. Now, no, in spring, it will be 1 hour later. Now it was 1 hour earlier. So instead of 2 p.m., they are due at 1 p.m.
Well, we haven't. I don't think we've ran into this. I haven't heard anything from anyone here. It's honestly my initial reaction is it sounds like this is a issue with the server that the time change isn't being applied to the server environment. So
But
you're.
it does make sense because we have 1 extra hour, right? So instead of 24 hours, in Sunday we had 25 hours. So when it adds, let's say 24 hour loan, it adds 24 hours, but there were actually 25 hours in that day. So it's 1 hour earlier.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense to me that it's happening that way. It doesn't see it.
It's logical.
It's logical, and it comes up 2 times a year, so it seems like it might not be that great an impact. I mean,
No.
I guess the impact would be if it made something due when you weren't open, or like there could be a very narrow slice of circulation where, like, oh, it's making it due at 8 a.m. and we don't open till 9 a.m. on Sunday or something like that.
No, I think that wouldn't even happen because it does take into account the closing time. It's really, I was just wondering if
It's curious.
if anyone is also noticing it and if anyone cares.
So,
Somehow our staff does care.
right. So it's only happening on the actual day that the hours change.
If it's included in the loan, so starting on Monday week before the time change, and it like the whole week for a week loan,
Okay.
3 days for 3 day loans, and 24 hours for 24 hours if you open on Sundays, but we are not open on Sundays.
Okay. And is it doing it just for hourly loan types or is it
Yes.
doing it for, okay, so just hourly loan types. Okay. I can mention something to Ann and Vega and see if anything rings a bell with them. It makes perfect sense, but it's also like the time library shouldn't be the time library shouldn't be doing that. But they might have an idea of why. Because I was thinking like there I was wondering if it has to do with something with UTC, which is well so the stuff is stored in Voyager or Voyager, the Folio. The stuff is stored in Folio as UTC and is calculated out with your time zone. And I don't know when daylight I'm assuming the daylight savings times for UTC might be off than US, but again, I'm not sure like why. Don't I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know if it's the actual calculation or if it's something funky with the way the time is being converted from UTC to your local time zone. So it's not grabbing that, but that also doesn't, it doesn't understand why it's only happening when it's over that one day. Because like right now, our colleagues that are in Europe, they're still on their original time. So for them, it's like 1 hour later than it is for us, or 1 hour later than it is for us because we went into daylight savings time or whatever it is now. And they're going over into that next week. So everyone's off by like an hour. And I thought maybe that was it, but that means that it would happen all of this week as well, if that makes sense.
Well, I obviously this week just started, so I can test it and see if it would be happening this week. I assume that it would stop after the time change happens. I can send you a message on Slack with my test result for today.
Sure, that'd be great if you could. I'll ping them now and just ask them if they have any ideas. You might have to file a bug for them to look into it more and do a spike. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks,
I'll send you a
Olga.
message.
All right. Any additional topics, questions, or otherwise? All right. Then I will call it. If folks can let me know if they have any desire to send out a message about next week's welcome and introduction. I will send you the text I'm sending out to LibCirc Plus. Also, remember to take a look at the front page and update your contact. I mean, your not your contact, but your information if you want to be on that list, or if you know folks who aren't and want to move them to the archive down below, that'd be great. And we will see some of you on Thursday for the Fee Fine group and others next week. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
I'm waving and my camera's off. So bye.
I could tell.
Thanks.